We're doing Siddur Kabbalah, the Meiri's work on Jewish history, and we're up to the period of the destruction of the first temple and the end of the period of prophecy. And the Meiri writes, "V'nashuv l'dvarenu." So we'll get back to the point at hand. "V'hu shebizman chuban beit rishon avru min hashanim gimel alafim shin lamedchet." The destruction of the first temple was in the year 3338. How so? The math goes as follows. The first temple stood for 410 years. Add those to the 2,928 years that the Pasuk says was the time from creation when the temple was built. The Pasuk says how many years from Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then we know Yetzias Mitzrayim was in the year 2448. So you end up with the building of the temple was in 2,928. Add to that 410, you end up with 3,338. And then the tradition was passed on to the giants of the next generation, which were Ezra and his contemporaries. Shehem, they are Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, the prophets Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. You already know Malachi is Ezra. We saw the Gemara in Megillah gives multiple opinions, whether Malachi was Mordechai, whether he wasn't Mordechai. Okay. The Meiri is going with the opinion that Malachi is Ezra. Malachi the prophet is Ezra so far. Then Mayu Nevim, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi were prophets. Even though we know the first Mechilta says that there's no prophecy in Chutz La'aretz, Ulai Yetchilu B'Madrigat HaNevuah Ba'aretz. Maybe they began being prophets in Israel. Truth is, it's also Gemara and Moed Katan. You guys know it from the Kuzari problem, right? It's a Gemara, it's a Mechilta. Dechol she'etchila ba'aretz, afi shora b'chutz la'aretz. Whoever starts prophesizing in Israel can continue prophesizing in Chutz La'aretz. Not like the Kuzari's answer. Different answer. V'chen tergem yontam ben Uziel b'Yechezkel. And that's also what we find in the Targum Yonason on Yechezkel. When Yechezkel begins his prophecy and he says it's out there on Nehar Kevar, outside in Babylon, so the Targum interjects and he says Yechezkel already had prophecy in Israel, and then God came back to him and gave him prophecy in the land of the Kasdim, Babylonian territory. The Targum stresses that Yechezkel continued because he had prophecy in Israel, which is really what the Gemara in Moed Katan says too, I think. Yeah, that's what the Targum says. Yeah. Okay. Don't know. גם כן שיש קצת הבדל במדרגת הנבואה בין אומרו מאהבה אהבה פתגם מן קודם השם לאומרו ואת מלא לי מבמדינת הרק הסדאי. There's also a difference. If you notice, the wording regarding the first prophecy he had in Israel is called that he had a pitgam from Hashem. And the wording of the second prophecy is called itmalel, he was spoken to by Hashem. It's a different level of prophecy. Even that low level of prophecy in Chutz La'aretz required a lot of work. It wasn't easy. Not easy getting spirituality in Chutz La'aretz. And this is what our sages alluded to when they said in the Mechilta, prophecy doesn't settle down. God doesn't settle on the prophets in Chutz La'aretz. וכשנדבר להם בחוץ לארץ, אינו מדבר מהם אלא במקום טהור. And even in Chutz La'aretz, when God wants to speak to the prophet, so then the prophet has to go to a pure place in Chutz La'aretz. שנאמר, as it says, where did Yechezkel get his prophecy? Al Nehar Kivar, by the river of Kivar. וכן, and also by Daniel, it says, where does Daniel get his prophecy? ואני הייתי על אובל אולי. I was by the river Ulai. Ulai is the name of the river in Persia. Uval is a river, Ulai. Ulai is the name of the river. Bechen, also later when Daniel has his vision, it says, he was, Ani hayti al yad ha-nahar, I was by the river. Why do they always have to be by the rivers? Because if God's already going to give them prophecy in Chutz La'aretz, they can't just be walking around in Chutz La'aretz. They have to be by a place that's holier, I guess, a higher level place. Look, there seems to be a contradiction here. The Mechilta begins by saying, no prophecy in Chutz La'aretz. And then they say, but they did. So what does that mean? It means if you want the essence of prophecy, if you want the high level of prophecy that a prophet gets in Israel, that you can't get in Chutz Lartz. Oh, good question. So the Mechilta deals with that. Open up the Mechilta at the beginning, and that's the first thing the Mechilta deals with. The Mechilta says, Kodem shenivchara Eretz Yisrael, before Eretz Yisrael was chosen, all the lands were good for prophecy. After Eretz Yisrael was chosen, after we entered Eretz Yisrael, then all the other lands lost it, and Eretz Yisrael got it. The Mechilta over there.
We say that that happened before the God of Israel, land of Israel being chosen, we were heading to Israel because it was chosen already.
Right, so obviously there's being chosen on one level and being chosen on another level, right? That's correct. Eretz Yisrael had greater holiness after we captured it. Yehoshua did not only capture the land of Israel, but he also did a procession of endowing Eretz Yisrael with Kedusha. That endowment of Kedusha was man-made. Obviously it's a man with a partnership with God. But
it was holy before we got in?
It had some level of holiness, but the Gemara in Shavuos, the Mishnah in Shavuos, discusses how you endow a city with holiness, and Chazal tell us that Yehoshua made a whole procession to endow the cities of Israel with holiness.
So we can say that it's by our presence that also the land gets...
We can't go into that. It's a longer conversation. Yeah. The concept we're familiar with. To go into it requires a whole class, or two. Yeah. ואמרו על הנביאים עניינו אף על פי שהוא תחילה נבואתם או הכנתם או שלמותם בארץ. The Medrash says God does not rest on the prophets in Chutz Lartz. Notice the wording of the Medrash. They're already prophets. The Medrash says God, the Shekhinah, does not rest on the prophets in Chutz Lartz. So it's telling you even someone who had prophecy already is a prophet. He had prophecy in Israel. The Shekhinah doesn't rest upon him in Chutz Lartz, right? That's what it says. So it means he doesn't have that level of prophecy in Chutz Lartz. Then the Medrash says, Ukshu nidaberim, when God speaks to them. It doesn't say when God gives them prophecy. It uses a different term. It says when God does speak to them. It doesn't say the Shekhinah rests upon them. You see how Rishon learned Medrash? Every word he's looking at. You guys, you see the diuk? Ukshu nidaberim, when God actually does talk to them, klomar shu lashon chelek nevuah, Lo tachlit nevuah, meaning the term God speaking to them is a part of the prophecy. It's not the essence of prophecy. And then the Medrash says, even just speech, just God talking to the prophet, you see there's the level of prophecy, whatever that is, and then there's the level of speaking to the prophets. That too can only be in a pure place. The idea is that he works very hard with all his strength to attain the prophecy and to relieve himself of any bothers. Vavenze. And understand this, says the Meiri. He didn't say that until now. Obviously, he's talking about a deep point here. And here you see that Daniel is not considered on the level of prophets. And we saw this Gemara in Megillah. Right? The Gemara discussed Daniel vis-a-vis Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Even though he was able to attain great heights, if you call it intellectually, which is not really a correct translation, his capacity for attaining spiritual concepts was very high, but he didn't attain the level of prophecy. And his capacity to have visions. Remember, the Meiri said prophecy is composed of the purity of the soul and the capacity to have visions. Remember when the Meiri discussed Moshe versus Bilam? So the capacity to have visions was great by Daniel. It's a good question. That's a good question. But that's not for now. That's maybe Thursday night, bring it up. And even then, really requires learning too many sources. But if you want, the Malbim in the story of Shmuel, if I'm not mistaken, in the story of Shmuel's first prophecy, I think the Malbim over there goes into, does the Rambam hold that Koach HaMedameh plays any role in prophecy? And we have a capacity for visions, and that capacity allows us to dream. Is the capacity for prophecy affected by the same capacity to see visions? You said imaginary. I purposely didn't use the word. I purposely said vision. I purposely did not use imagination. I purposely did not use that word because I'm not sure that's the word to use. I know that many people would translate midameh as imagination. I would not. I'm not sure that vision is correct, but it's as close as I can get. But the Malbim, if I'm not mistaken, over there, the Malbim goes into how we understand the Rambam and others. Okay, but that's not our topic. Let's finish the chapter. So even though Daniel had this great capacity for visions, ve'gidu niflot batidot, and he was able to tell you things about the future, he was not on the level of Navi, whatever level that is, which deserves a longer discussion, which we will Bezrat Hashem have in our Droshot Aran class on Fridays. Pretty soon, the Aran will start discussing what does the word Navi really mean, meaning it's a machlokas rishonim. So the Meiri seems to be going in line with the Aran, that Navi is its own root, not like Rashi, that stems from Nivs, the sign, from speech. Navi is a level. Navi is something up there. As we saw last Thursday, two Thursdays ago, in the Braisa and Masech Avodah Zorah, it's a level of spiritual heights. And he says, even though I admit that in my introduction to the book of Tehillim, I gave a different explanation. I didn't go with this understanding, but here is the explanation I'm giving you here. So the Meiri is acknowledging that in the intro to Tehillim, he gave a slightly different explanation as to how all of this works. And that brings us to the conclusion of the second chapter. Next week, Be'ezrat Hashem will begin the third chapter, the period of the second temple, the wise men of the Mishnah, and the continuation of the oral law.
Great. Is that one of the reasons?